The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
At 11 o'clock. But there were a couple of articles that I wanted to talk about that are just very interesting to me about why the city finds itself in the position that it finds itself in today. And none of this really has anything to do with the Moreno administration. They inherited this mess. And as they're going through all of the things that they have to do to remediate some of these policies that are very antiquated, the ineptitude that has been going on for years. But meanwhile, all that's fine and dandy, but the taxpayers are the ones that are suffering. And they're suffering in a huge way for so many years of not keeping your eye on the ball and not being willing to consume political capital. We had elected leaders who were basically chickens. They wouldn't do the right thing ever because they didn't want to face the political consequences. And meanwhile, you know, we find ourselves down and out, and we wonder why. And I'm going to translate some of this into, you know, articles about New Orleans suffering a number of the line item vetoes. Well, it kind of begs the question of why would we reward the city with state money when we've squandered so many opportunities to do the right thing over the years. And again, this has nothing to do with the Moreno administration, but you're going to suffer the ills of the lack of effort, the lack of paying attention to what needed to be done. So the other day, the Louisiana legislative auditor is calling for reforms of accrued leave, vacation pay. We call it annual leave in government. The city of New Orleans paid out more than $4.2 million in accrued leave in 2025. The payouts went to about 400 people who left civil service jobs, including employees from the NOPD, the NOFD, and 18 of those employees received checks exceeding $50,000. The largest single payout, nearly $450,000, went to a fire district chief. Another payout in June of in this month, the NOPD fired former Major Raymond Burkhart in June of 2026. The city said he will receive $500,000, a $500,000 payout for accumulated leave. And it would have been $700,000, but he was demoted. So then the value of each hour of leave that he had on the books was recalculated to that of the salary of a lieutenant as opposed to the salary of a major. So he lost $200,000 in value by that demotion. Now, this has nothing to do with these individuals that are receiving these dollars. They received these dollars as a result of a policy by the city of New Orleans. A little bit of a history lesson. Most, and I will say most government sectors, when GASB, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, changed the rules to say that all of these dollars, the value of this leave, which a lot of jurisdictions had unlimited accruals, you could accrue in the entire time that you're there. Let's say you get 2 weeks a year. You didn't take the 2 weeks. You could accrue it. It goes on the books. Next year, you don't take the 2 weeks. It goes on the books. The following year, same thing. Goes on the books. A lot of jurisdictions had very liberal leave policies, 21 days a year, for example. in a lot of jurisdictions that you could account, you could accrue for. And it just kept going to the books, going to the books. Every time you got a promotion, your value of your leave went up at that point in time. So those that started out as a deputy and started putting money in leave and ends up as a deputy chief, the value of their leave was exponentially greater as a result of their promotions. Well, at some point in time, and I forgot what year it was in, GASB changed the rules and said the value of that time had to be booked on your financials as an unfunded accrued liability. And the net effect of that, for those that were not learned in accounting and didn't really understand, is that it would make the entity look as though it was broke, that you had more liabilities than you had assets or cash. And there was a big concern amongst governmental accountants as to how you were going to explain this away. GASB and FASB, the Financial Accounting Standard Boards, they became much closer as to how government was going to account for certain things that traditionally we didn't have to account for it in that way, more like a for-profit entity, which I think is, in many respects, a good thing. Because it caused a lot of people to really get their eye on the ball. So a lot of jurisdictions, and I was the chief financial officer at the time when this all came about, I went to the CEO, Harry Lee, and I said, hey, this is going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem politically. How do you explain this away? We have this unlimited accrual basis. We need to change. We already had a policy that it wasn't a day for a day. Your value of your leave up until a certain number of days was valued at 1 for 1. After that, it was 2 for 1, 3 for 1, 4 for 1, 5 for 1. So we had already modified the policies many years in advance so that we tried to limit that amount of liability. But this unlimited accrual thing was going to come back and haunt us. So we decided to freeze the plan. We freeze the plan on a date certain, and we bought out everybody's leave. And everybody went back to a zero balance. And we created a new policy where you couldn't accrue that much leave, and you either used it or you lost it. And we allowed for a period of time to be utilized that aligned with our disability policies and other policies that we had in our health plan so that people would not have to suffer not having a paycheck. And we had it make more sense as to how this was going to play itself out. These are the things that you never hear about that go on behind closed doors. But the truth be told, you should, because it has serious and significant financial consequences, as was laid out in news stories that were reported about what the legislative auditor is saying, that, hey, the city, you need to reform this. You can't afford this. You have a budget deficit of about $100 million, down from $220 million. You're still teetering, and you're paying out in leave over $4 million in 2025. Somebody better do something. Now, the truth be told, as I said before, this is not the Moreno administration's creation. This is like the last four mayors not paying attention, not willing to make the difficult decisions and doing the right thing here, because this is absolutely craziness. You will not find this in the private sector. It doesn't exist. Trust me. Nowhere will they have a benefit as lucrative as this. right? Where your leave every time you're promoted goes up exponentially in value. It's absolutely craziness that we do not have our hands around this situation. I've actually talked about this many times on this show with former council members, former CFOs, about the city's policy, that they're very antiquated, they're setting themselves up for failure, and they need to get their hands around this situation sooner rather than later. Now, is it a popular thing with your employees? Hell no, it's not. Absolutely not. But you're paid to make tough decisions. And you have to make them. Because you're the fiduciary for the public. Yes, you try to balance your fiduciary obligation to the public as it relates to being fair to your employees. Easiest way to do that is to look at your peer group. What are your peers doing? Well, most of your peers are not allowing this to occur any longer. They can't afford it. And certainly, the private sector doesn't do it at all, which is a very telling situation, right? And, you know, we hear all the time, well, you know, the public sector doesn't make what the private sector does. Well, that gap is closed a lot. A lot. And the benefit package far exceeds the benefit package that's offered in it far exceeds the benefit package that is received in the private sector. So hopefully this causes something to be done. It's a shame that the legislative auditor has to call this out. The administrations in the past should have addressed this situation. We wouldn't be in this situation now. This policy right now needs to be frozen, and a new policy needs to be put in place. And you got to figure out how you're going to end up funding and paying out this old policy. But it needs to freeze, because every time you're making promotions and everything else, you have everybody's bank leave going up exponentially in value. And you're bankrupting the city.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y. And if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
And it just doesn't make any sense. So hopefully they'll freeze the policy, garner a new policy, and move forward. Let's pivot real quick to these line item vetoes. Nobody likes, you know, the fact that elections have consequences, right? Democrat city, Republican governor, Republican-controlled state legislature. There's the friction. We talk about this all the time. All the time. But when we go, we dig deeper and we go to the projects themselves. For example, $16 million designated for the redevelopment efforts at the municipal auditorium. Why would the state want to send the city $16 million for the municipal auditorium? Administration after administration after administration have squandered every opportunity of utilizing FEMA dollars to renovate and get that building into some kind of shape, instead letting it sit there and just fall apart. And now we have an expectation that the state should dump $16 million in this hole? I should think not. I could tell you that if I were the governor, and that's how I try to view these things. If I was a governor and I'm assessing this situation, I'm like, not happening. Not happening. The state should not have to suffer the ills of the failed leadership of administration after administration after administration in dealing with not only Armstrong Park, but the municipal auditorium. How many stories have we read about the failures of leadership in the city, both at the council as well as the mayor's administration, in dealing with this particular issue? Citizen-led initiatives trying to figure out what to do, citizens groups, nobody really taking the ball, bringing it across the finish line ever. Why? Should say not, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense. When we talk about homelessness and funding for certain not-for-profits, look, I get it. But there's a reckoning right now, as it relates to some of what's going on when we talk about this industrial complex of homelessness and how that's going to be ultimately funded. There is a huge chasm between the belief system of some in the city of New Orleans and obviously the present administration in Baton Rouge. So again, when you sit there and you wonder why this is the way it is, it's kind of like, well, let's look at the data, and what we find, and even some of the most forward-leaning business folks in the city that have been very giving on this issue are like, this is not working. It's not working, and we need to do something differently. So I don't know why it's a big surprise that money is at risk. And not this particular organization, but there are other homeless organizations that actually, I think, the legislative auditor has been looking at, and they're not willing to give any answers to some of the questions. So if I'm sitting there in the governor's mansion and I'm looking at all of this, what would I do? I'd send them the money. Until there's a collective and collaborative effort that all of this is aligned in a meaningful way, which makes sense. So the $2 million for the Ellis Marcellus Center for Music, it's a great program. There are a lot of great music programs. I'm curious, if the state is funding music programs around the state, then this would not be fair. But $2 million? It's a lot of money. We develop these great not-for-profit institutions that end up relying on government funding over and over and over again. So when do you wean yourself off of the proverbial state budget tit? It's what everybody wants to know at some point in time. How does this work? How many great programs are going to rely on government funding at the end of the day? And what we find out now is that there are a lot of NGOs and government organizations that have one revenue source, either the federal government or state government. And I'm not suggesting that that's the case here with the Ellis Marcellus Center for Music, because I know differently. I know people that have actually served on that board. It's a fine institution. But again, when is enough enough? And when is it that the jurisdiction or the city itself take on these concerns and these challenges. And $1 million for the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office. Well, you know, again, unless and until that is turned around and we begin to see improvements in the way that we're managing it, managing the money and everything else. And I have a lot of high expectations for the new sheriff. I think she's going to do a good job. I wish her the best. But until you prove yourself, why would you just send money? Again, we have this mindset that we have this beggar's mentality, as though we're shaking cans on street corners, and when people don't give us money, we're upset. I mean, it's like we have to prove to the world that we're going to be doing things. We're going to be clicking on all cylinders. We have a new administration just over 100 days in office and doing some great things, but that has to continue down the road. When you're paying out leave amounts like this, this is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. And one has to wonder, well, if you've got all this money to squander and you're not doing what most organizations have modified years ago, why should we continue to pay the freight? It's a legitimate question. And it demands legitimate answers and legitimate action. And a lot of people are waiting and seeing and watching. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.